You're listening to the Environment and Conservation Show on UK Health Radio.
We need to understand as human beings that we are part of this ecosystem.
We are nature.
In the forest.
I teach many people, you know, don't cut the trees.
Through their roots because of the relationship they have with living microorganisms.
They do lots of really important things in our ecosystems.
And there are cycles, natural rhythms, this planet that we're so interconnected with.
We really need help. The Amazon really need help.
I'm Bia Sharma, almost 50 years.
The indigenous need our help. They need our help now.
Medicine.
Wild Botanic Garden. It's actually flood-proof, bomb-proof and radiation-proof as well.
There's young people out here that are doing amazing things, and the press needs to fix up and start telling some really beautiful stories.
We can always make a difference.
We be the change.
Plant trees! They help us breathe!
Hiya listeners, I've got you in the outdoors. I'm currently sitting by a lovely relaxing stream, listening to the water flow. I'm surrounded by beautiful green trees. Been teaching bushcraft and survival. I absolutely love engaging young people into the natural world. Being in the outdoors really develops young people's imagination, their creativity. It boosts their confidence. Young people on the spectrum, as soon as you get them into the outdoors, young people that might have problems in the classroom, it gives them empowerment. So you are going to be listening to the voices of a number of different people. You'll be hearing opinions of young people who have experienced bushcraft and survival, different outdoor activity leaders, teachers, and a school counsellor as well. So I hope you enjoy the interview, and thanks very much for listening. Walking through some woodland with some young people who have just been doing some survival training for the last 3 days. Did you all have a good time?
Yes!
And Lewis, what did you think before you came out here? What were you expecting?
Before, I thought the woods are just a lot of trees bunched together, but yeah, during this course I learned a lot about the woods, how to rescue yourself, how to rescue others, how to get resources from the woods. So yeah, really interesting.
What about yourself? What's your name?
My name's Vico.
How do you feel after, you know, 3 days of survival training in the woods?
Well, I had a lot of fun. And now I know that if I get lost in the woods or something, I know how to get like my resources and how to build a hut and all those kinds of things that we learned.
Did you have fun?
Yeah, lots of fun.
And what's your name?
My name's Ella.
And Ella, what about yourself? What do you feel like now that you've had a bit of knowledge on the woods? What do you think you got out of the experience?
Well, I think it's amazing that there are so many different things that you can use to make medicine and like different resources to make huts and things like that, because I didn't know that before we came, and I learned a lot more than I expected to learn because I did different kind of things like this before, but I learned so much more now than I had everything combined before, so it was really amazing.
And Paris, what do you feel like you got out of the experience?
I thought it was really handy to know like how to start fires, how to build huts. I learned a lot more than I expected because I thought I wasn't really going to like learn much, but I learned a lot of helpful skills that would be good to know when you're surviving alone in the wild.
And Jamie, what about you? I mean, what did you expect before coming here? Did you have any expectations?
I think it was like we were taught, making shelters, creating fire, but I never thought that we would work in a team, which I thought was really good and helped communicate my communication with other people.
What skills, besides all the survival knowledge that you've learned, what other skills do you think you've developed on this experience?
Being able to see other plants as different uses. For example, moss as for sheltering against water. I think that can really help us.
And what's your name?
My name's Alex.
What have you learned in the last 3 days, Alex?
Well, in the last 2 days I've learned that, you know, if you really work together as a team, you can get things done. And how it's not easy to survive in the wild, but if you get things done, if you get your head down, and if you get to making things, you can easily survive in the wild.
How do you lot feel as opposed to being in a classroom and learning all these skills in a class, but then coming outside to the woods and almost being in a classroom without walls? What are you getting out of some education in the outdoors?
Well, I feel really free here because, you know, you're not trapped in this four-wall classroom with everyone, all the pressure and everyone's bodies, like, creating heat. You're just out here just learning survival and just getting on with it.
I feel like you need to become much more creative and there are more chances of getting more creative. And next year I'm going to a school where I feel like these skills are going to be really useful as well. So I'm really excited to like bring that as well to the school as well.
In your classroom, you sit in your comfort zone. But if you go out in the woods, you have challenges to overcome. And so you step out of your comfort zone and you learn more, I guess, in the woods than you do in the classroom sometimes.
Yeah, it's surprising, isn't it? Like, sometimes we don't know what to expect when we come out here, but we do learn a lot. What about yourself?
I think it's better that we get to, like, experience it in the forest instead of in a classroom because it's easier to learn and it's a lot more fun as well. Yeah.
I think it's different than the classroom as we get to do it instead of just talking about it. And so building shelters in class, we would tell it, but here we did it and we worked in a team.
I think it's more fun out here as well, and I think you'd learn it better if you actually do it yourself than if you learn it like from a teacher in class.
So do you think something like this should be experienced by all young people?
Yeah, definitely.
Why? Why do you think? Why do you think we need to get young people back out into nature?
Well, I think that, you know, now we're all just stuck in our rooms on our games or on our laptops or something. We need to actually go out into the wild, learn useful skills like this, because you never know when you're going to need it or when it's going to come in handy.
And do you think, so have you lot kind of grown up in the city?
Yeah.
Do you think that these days, like city dwellers and young people, do you think we're forgetting about the natural world?
I think most of us don't realize what's out there if you haven't really had an experience like this, because now I kind of forgot that this was kind of, there were so many different things in the woods, there are so many different species and things you can learn differently than what you're used to. And I think a lot of people don't realize that or forgot because they haven't been here for a really long time.
Yeah, I think people kind of forget how like important and beautiful nature actually is.
Yeah,
because they're so used to like sitting inside and everything and just
And how do you feel, like, mentally, actually, after coming out and being in the woods for 3 days? How does it make you feel?
I feel more relaxed being out here, more, like, freedom, as we pretty much did, like, we had lots of fun as well.
You know when you first got out here and you were building the shelters?
Teamwork was really important in the beginning. We had to sort things out, but then over the hours, we got better. And we worked harder together. And yeah, in the end, if you work as a team, you succeed.
So you think things like this definitely develop your teamwork skills?
Yes. Definitely. Becoming more creative and learning things on your own and not just like following a textbook. You're put in a situation where you kind of have to investigate and try and figure out a way to do it yourself, which makes you much more creative.
So you feel like you were using your imaginations more and you were problem solving without being told what to do. It's like you were figuring it out for yourself rather than having someone saying, no, you're making a mistake, do it this way. You know, it was actually up to you to create everything how you wanted to. And do you think that's what gave you the sense of freedom?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And is there anything else you wish to add?
I just think everyone should take the time to like appreciate nature because it's like relaxing and nice when you actually like spend time in nature.
And I think people don't really
think, oh, I don't really want to go out. Like, I'd rather just sit in my room and do, like, my homework or something. But you could also easily just do things that you would in nature. And it kind of, like, it really relaxes you, what I've noticed in the last couple of days. It really relaxes you and it, like, clears your mind as well. And, yeah, it also allows you to focus on what you're actually doing. So that really helps as well.
So do you think that you might, you know, get back out into the woods or experience nature in the future?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's been a really good experience for future, yeah, future times and, you know, going out and exploring more.
I'd say that this really helps you with many skills, also physical. But after all the hard work, and the relief of seeing your camp and yeah. After a while, you think it's all worth it. And you know, because of all the hard work that you've done and you've created a shelter with just the woods, I think it really gives you a sense of hope.
Yeah, life is what you make it out here, isn't it? Thank you very much, you lot, and glad you've enjoyed the last 3 days.
Thank you.
Peace!
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to the Environment and Conservation Show on UK Health Radio.
Before the young people arrive, John, can you just explain to me what's going on right now?
So this is a culmination of learning. They're about to partake in a search and rescue exercise, and they're going to put all together all the elements of learning. They're going to have to ply a bearing, fan out into a search, find the casualty, treat that casualty, which would be a broken femur, stretch her back to a set point, create a shelter to look after them, and then signal for help. So it's all the elements that they've learned over the last 2 days all come together right now.
You're listening to the Environment and Conservation Show on UK Health Radio.
So, when we place you out, your scenario is you're going to have a broken leg. And that's where they're going to have to improvise and treat that. They're going to have to put you in a stretcher carefully. And they're going to have to carry you back to the start point and start drawing attention to themselves for rescue. Everyone happy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what I want to hear, though, is as they're doing it, lots of screams, lots of play acting. Let's get a bit theatrical just to add that realism to them. By you adding that realism, it really encourages them to really go for it.
It's almost like they're in a real-life situation where they have to apply all the skills that they've gained. So I have to say, it is a lot different when you are being trained to actually applying these skills in a real-life situation. That's why engaging in practices like this is good, because it gives a chance for the young people to actually see the difference and see how they will react as individuals when placed in an emergency situation. So what are you actually doing right now?
Well, right now I'm pretending to be a casualty and I'm waiting for my team to come find me through a given bearing, and yeah, they're gonna try and find me, and then they have to rescue me and they have to put me somewhere where the helicopter can find us, basically.
Do you have faith that your team will come through?
Well, last time we practiced, it went pretty well. We were able to find the missing body parts, so yeah, I think they'll be able to find me, hopefully.
And hopefully you won't ever have to apply these skills in the future. But do you feel more confident now that you have learnt these skills?
Definitely. I really think that it would be really useful if I do ever get lost, or if I decide to go on an expedition or something like that, and we can't find where we're going. I can easily use my compass now, and I can easily find clues if anyone's missing, and yeah, it will be really useful to use these skills.
So, you know, when you were practicing the fire lighting skills, as well as learning how to start a fire, what other skills personally for your mental state do you think that you developed whilst learning fire lighting?
Well, I think it was also very, I learned to be creative and like kind of figure out on my own, because I was having difficulties because I'm left-handed, so it was kind of tough for me to get it on the right spot. But just trying different ways and kind of try and find a solution to my problem, it really helped me individually work on it my own, and yeah, kind of develop in that way.
And once you got your fire lit, what was it like just sitting around your fire? How did it make you feel?
It was really nice. It was also a victory in a way, because you have been trying it for so long. And it kind of felt nice that you did it on your own, and it was your own accomplishment, and better than just like lighting it with a lighter and stuff. So it was really like, it was a good experience.
It's quite hypnotic as well, yeah. Just sitting around the fire. Why do you think that is?
Well, I guess it's cozy, and it's your own accomplishment, and well, it's really useful to have as well. It's, it's your own accomplishment, which kind of makes it feel like a victory as well.
Hi, I'm Vitska Anima.
I'm Lou Centner.
And you just took part in like a mass search and rescue scenario, didn't you? And you were both elected to be the leaders because your leadership skills shone through. So how did it actually feel doing all the training, being put in a position and applying those skills?
It was good to be able to apply the skills, because it makes it like feel more useful what you've learned, and it does prepare you more for if it were ever to happen in real life. It really, and it gets you like, it does feed your rat basically.
Yeah, it really gives you the feeling of being in a real lifetime situation. So if actually something like this happened, then yeah, and it pushes your teamwork, and you can push your limits.
And what did you find challenging? I mean, you were managing quite a massive group. What did you find difficult?
Probably just the communication between everyone, because there was like, I don't know how many people, but a lot. And we had to line them all up, and like everyone kept moving forward too quickly or too slowly. So you had to really manage that. But I think we did manage to do it well after a few tries.
Yeah, the communication was the biggest problem, because it was just too many people there. And another problem was that not everybody listened to what we said, so we had to repeat ourselves quite often, which took time, and we needed that time in the end.
And I mean, how have you felt in the last 3 days? What do you think you've got out of this whole experience?
I found it really, really fun, and honestly, I feel like I would want to do this and like go to random places and just like chill there and go into the forest and like live off the supplies. And I feel like this has just like encouraged me more to do that, because I was already kind of like, that sounds and looks really fun, but this is just more like an extra push towards that, like out of the comfort zone.
And what about yourself? What have you got out of this experience in the last 3 days?
Yeah, it really showed me that the woods are a beautiful place, and that I could imagine myself also doing survival training there, or maybe even being leader later. And it's really something different than your everyday life, and it really pushes you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, so would you recommend this experience to other young people?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah,
it's such a, like, it's a great learning experience, because it's also something that you can apply to all your future jobs, like teamwork and cooperation and communication, where that's such a vital skill to have in even in the city life. But it's great to learn it out in like a different environment, so you can like adapt more.
Yeah, it gets you out of your everyday life, and you push your skills, creativity, teamwork, all these things that you may be limited in your everyday life to. And these things are pretty important for life, so I recommend doing that.
So do you think you're definitely going to go on some more adventures to natural environments in the future?
Definitely,
yeah.
Is there anything else you wish to add, or any positive messages to spread to any other young people around the world?
Just do it. Go for it. Have fun.
Get off your laptops, iPads, phones, whatever, and just go in the jungle, woods, whatever you have.
What have you felt you've got out of this experience in the last 3 days?
Adventure. We stepped out of our comfort zone.
I had a lot of fun. I learned a lot of new things. And I think this is very important for life. if you ever get in a situation like this.
So was it nice coming out of the classroom and experiencing nature?
Yes, but not so much in the rain.
Did you find it tough in the rain?
It wasn't tough, it just got like really annoying and wet, so you got really cold.
But you trooped through, didn't you?
Yeah.
What skills do you think you've developed in the last couple of days?
Shelter building, and if you find someone, you know what to do with them, and if they're hurt, you know to put pressure on their, if they're bleeding, you put pressure on the point and to carry them, and if and you always need an open area for if a helicopter ever comes, and creating like SOS signs.
So you've basically learned some skills in first aid and signaling for help.
Yeah, and fire, making fire was pretty cool.
I think the fire making was really nice, and like making the flames bigger, I really like that, and the bonfire on the beach.
Excellent. What about yourself? What's been your high point in the last few days?
The first day was shelter building, because we got to make our own things out of nothing. We made a beautiful area.
You're listening to the Environment and Conservation Show on UK Health Radio.
Can you please introduce yourself and your role, what you do?
My name is Helen Melville-Kenny, and I'm a school counsellor at the International School of The Hague.
What do you feel the young people have got out of this experience?
I think for our students, they've got a huge amount out of this experience. I work with a lot of the students individually who experience a lot of anxiety, a lot of social anxiety, a lot of stresses, and also a lot of anxiety, performance anxiety, I guess. And I think the great thing about this kind of thing is out of the classroom, it's away from all of those day-to-day pressures, all of the tasks that they're doing, it's a real level playing field. Anyone can do really well, and it takes them out of their comfort zone, but in a really good way. You can see it really gets them thinking creatively, doing things, and just learning and interacting with each other in a different way.
I'm Kate Flynn. I'm a teacher at the International School of The Hague. It's wonderful to see the students in a non-academic setting. So I teach science, and often the perception of that it's very difficult and students have low confidence when it comes to a subject like that. So it's wonderful to see students who might struggle in a more academic context actually really shining and taking a lead in a more physical environment.
I'm Richard Hayes, and I work at the International School of The Hague, where I'm a physics teacher. I think it's given them a chance to be kids, really be kids, because out here they haven't been trying to use the Wi-Fi. They've just been out being children, talking to each other, working in groups, and it's taken them out of the city. The Hague is a lovely city and there's green spaces, but nothing like this, where they can be as loud as they want and they can run around and play, and it's given them a real chance to regress back to being real good children again.
In regards to young people that are on the spectrum, do you see any positive differences as opposed to them being in the classroom and them getting them out here into nature?
Definitely. And for me, that's been one of the really nice things to see, thinking about two students in particular, who one of them was quite anxious before he was coming here because it's out of his routine, it's out of his comfort zone, it's not familiar. And he had some questions for me before we came. How's it going to be? What's it going to be like? Yeah, seeing how he's really got involved in the group, really got involved in the activities. It's just a different level of confidence, I think, of trying new things and not being afraid to do that. It's really amazing to see how they function in those social groups in a really different way to being in that rigid academic structure that we usually see them in.
I think there are a lot of students here who sometimes in a classroom context they might be considered the bad students in inverted commas, simply because they just have boundless energy and feel trapped within a classroom. And those same students are the ones here who just thrive, and their boundless energy is now vital, and they lift everybody else and lead. And it's wonderful to see, and as a teacher I think it's wonderful to see a different side to a student who you might sometimes have a bit of trouble with, and to bond with them in a different way. But it's also just brilliant for them to be able to not be the naughty child anymore.
Same thing really. I've seen two different autistic children on two different trips, and every one of them, the kids have become so supportive of them in this environment. They realise in a school environment that they can be a bit disruptive, and sometimes that can get a little tiring for some of the children. But out here, where they can be loud and they can have their opinion and they can run around, and it doesn't really matter how much energy they have and what they do, it's all open for play, that everybody becomes really supportive of them. And that's really nice. It's great to see.
And besides, the obvious skills that survival and bushcraft teaches you, what other, mental abilities do you think activities like this enhance or stimulate or improve?
I think the thing that gives the kids on this weekend is the confidence to try new things, to just have a go, to just get involved. They don't just have to stay with what's familiar and what they already know they're good at. They can just, everyone mucks in, has a go, everybody's good at something, and I think it's that confidence to try something different.
Yeah, I think because a lot of the students don't have any of these kind of skills, they're all starting from quite an even base. So it's not that there, I mean, there are a couple of students out there who have done this kind of thing before, but they are very, very much in the minority. So there's lots of failing going on, there's lots of people making fools of themselves, I guess, but really just not caring.
A lot of independent work. I like the fact that the kids have become, they know they can do it, and they're becoming a lot more independent. So in school, they are independent kids, but not like they are out here with the skills they're learning. I really like that.
Do you feel like activities like this should be compulsory for young people these days, especially young people living and growing up in a city environment?
I think compulsory is always a really strong word, but yes, I would really like to see more of this kind of activity. I've been speaking to some of the teaching staff about how it'd be great to fit more of these kind of activities into the curriculum through the school year as well, and not just as a treat at the end of the year. It is a fun thing, but it shouldn't just be a fun thing. It should be something that's more embedded in the curriculum, I think.
Yes, I think just having the opportunity to get out of the classroom and trying to find ways to link this kind of thing to your own subject would be very valuable. I think I agree, sometimes if you say the word compulsory to students, it automatically just is a switch off. But finding ways to get outside would be always fantastic.
Yeah, the same. I think if all the stuff that we do cover in classroom, in theory, for things like climate change, to actually get out here and realise what it is that the climate is changing, then that would be really good for them to see and become a bit more of a part of it.
I think another good point about bringing that into the wilderness is the lack of focus on appearance and fashion and hair straighteners, and that's just the boys. I think they just, from what I've seen, they embrace being dirty. They embrace being wet and messy, and that's really lovely to see.
And Richard mentioned they've not been using the Wi-Fi. I've hardly seen, I mean, you see the kids obviously in the breaks on their phones, but I've not seen many iPads and many laptops. And usually we're so used to seeing all the kids in all of the downtime, all of the breaks, straight on the iPad, straight playing games, not interacting with each other. And it's a complete break from that. It's just real interaction with their peers and with people. And that's really nice to see as well, to get out of that technology-focused environment.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think that kids are really dependent on that technology, and it's not, because as soon as you take it away from them, they realise that they can. We had the Nerf ball yesterday, so kids took off their socks, filled them with sand, and started throwing those around instead. They didn't just stop doing things and stop having fun because no one was giving them something to have fun with. They could use their imaginations, and this is the best place for it.
I think it's also important that they see adults in a different role. So people like you and people like us as well, just seeing us out of the classroom, we become more like real people and less like teachers.
And you all got involved as well. You built your own shelter, didn't you? Was that fun?
Oh, it's brilliant fun, and it's good for the kids to be real kids again. It's also good for us as adults to be kids again and to also get away from the computer and the admin and all of those things. It's a brilliant break.
As teachers coming away from the classroom and coming out here, how do you feel being in the woods for the last few days? How's it made you feel personally?
Well, coming from Britain, we used to try and spend as much time as we could in the countryside, and there's not as much easily accessible countryside in the Netherlands. So coming out here, it's lovely. I love being just going for walks, seeing some a lot of trees as well, a big group of trees that you can't see through the other side of, and hearing nature and animals. It's wonderful.
I mean, I'm quite happy to get out of a classroom at any time, which is a strange thing to say for a teacher, but I do feel with the students that the classroom can sometimes become a little bit of a prison. So any chance to get outside, any chance to just move around and be more physical is very, very welcome.
And as a school counsellor, going back again in regards to young people on the spectrum, do you think things like this are quite healing for them?
Yeah, definitely. I think for kids who struggle maybe to find their place in a social group or find their place in a world, really, I think it's amazingly liberating and freeing. We've talked a lot about how it's fun, it's relaxing, it's healthy, it's learning to value yourself and relate to other people in a different way. But for those kids who are really, I guess, limited or restricted, who don't fit into the pigeonholes that we try to put students in a school. It's just, I think it's very liberating for them. Yeah, I think it's very healthy.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to the Environment and Conservation Show on UK Health Radio.
My name is Simon Brooks and I am one of the deputy heads of the International School of The Hague, and my role is principally looking after pastorally years 10 and 11, and I've been doing this job almost 2 years now. I've worked at the school for 5 years.
And how long have you been teaching altogether, Simon?
Wow, since 1989, so it's a long time. So I think about 27 years altogether in terms of teaching in various schools, 6 international schools, a few schools in the UK, in Holland, in Scotland and England.
What differences have you seen in the young people in the last week, as opposed to being in the classroom and coming out into nature?
Well, I think that since, because the year group was split into two, and I think both halves of the year group had the same pattern, Monday to Wednesday and Wednesday to Friday. What I saw when they arrived is students a bit, what we're going to do, not sure. Individuals, I would say. But by the end of the week, I think they became really more collective, they became more positive, more buoyant. And I think what they've learned is that you can learn so much having education outside the classroom, you know, and they have, I think, their knowledge of how to survive, how to work together as a team, and how to survive in many different environments has really developed. And they're happy, they really enjoyed it as well, and they can see the benefit of what they've done.
They've learned different survival skills like shelter building, fire lighting, navigation. But besides those aspects, what other mental abilities do you feel like activities like this stimulate or enhance?
Okay, I think they've learned to be creative, okay, and also to use the resources they have available, and also to not be panicked if there's things are uncertain. If they haven't been in a situation where they've not known what to do, or they have been in a situation where they've not what to do, but they've been able to sort of move forward with confidence and not be panicking. So I think they have learnt to be adaptive, is the word I would say that sums it up really.
With these kinds of skills, a lot of it is problem solving skills. I mean, as a teacher, watching them, you know, make the mistake and then adapt and fix it. I mean, how do you think this is developing them personally?
Okay. Well, I'm glad you said that, because I think failing is a really important aspect of learning. And one of the things that I've heard is that it's good to fail well, because if you're not failing, in many ways, that means you're not trying. Okay, so they can actually try and go and practice and learn from their mistakes and be creative in finding a solution. So that, I think that's given them a lot of confidence, not only here and also in their personal lives, but also in school as well. And certainly I teach mathematics myself. And I think, when you are preparing for an exam, you've got to go out there and just prepare to fail, so that eventually, at the end of that journey where you're practicing lots of times, it becomes really, really good. So it's a study, you become more skillful. So I think that's something the students will take away with them, both in their home lives and also in school life as well.
And in regards to young people who are on the spectrum, have you seen any positive changes as opposed to them being in the classroom?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there were a number of students who I was concerned about, and we had a counsellor here as a safety net. But these students, they integrated really well, and they looked very happy, and they were welcomed by all their classmates, and they looked confident and they were joining in. And I thought, wow, that's fantastic. You know, it really has made a difference. And I hope that, and I expect that to carry back when we return to Ish. And this connection, this integration, this confidence for these students to remain in throughout the rest of the school life.
When I'm teaching fire lighting, Simon, I mean, what I feel is that, you know, I'm not just teaching them how to start a fire. For example, when you're trying to get a fire started in the rain,
yeah.
For example, which yeah. we were doing.
We had that.
We did have that. And it's very challenging, isn't it? So you're not only learning how to light a fire, it's also developing your patience and your determination.
Absolutely.
What other key developments have you seen within the activities that we've been running that you think are developing in the process?
Okay, I think, you know, look at some of the activities I've seen. They've learned to care for each other. They've learned empathy in the first aid, and also caring for the person, also having the practical skills. Communication skills, you know, they all exercise when they have to guide each other through teamwork, absolutely. You know, also cognitive skills, you know, being able to read a compass, knowing where to go. And there's, you know, the many aspects. So it's not only personal, but also academic, I think, as well. So they can, if you do something, there's a greater chance that knowledge and those skills will be retained, you see, rather than actually just reading about it. So, yeah, social, academic, practical skills, all there in many aspects.
What about yourself personally, Simon? How do you feel getting...
Oh, I feel very happy we got to Friday. You know, but also, more importantly, you know, it's so rewarding to see the students really enjoy the week. I must be honest, that, you know, the month preceding this trip, he's sort of thinking, oh my goodness, this form isn't been done. What if it rains? You know, do the parents know what's going on? Will they all buy into it? But I think, you know, we've had a really good web page that's been established. So I'm able to send photographs to the parents. I've had lots of positive responses. You know, so and for me, I feel confident that it's a really good thing. And I know that the students who are currently on this trip, they're going to pass this on to the parents. And these students' siblings who are lower down in the school, they will be looking forward to this trip. It's an excellent experience at Ish. So I feel very happy in many ways with my colleagues and the students. All good. Everything came together really well.
I am sat here currently with Cara. Hello, Cara.
Hello, Yara.
Cara and Yara.
Yes.
Yeah, so Cara, how long have you been involved in the outdoor industry?
Oh, a few decades now. I'm counting decades rather than years.
Why do you enjoy working in the outdoors?
I love it because I just feel you can't understand nature or the environment unless you're actually out experiencing it for real.
And what is your background? What have you been up to?
Well, I started off as a geography tutor, taking groups out, doing field studies, so doing river measurements and looking at glacial landforms, looking at sand dune formation. So very practical, just out there measuring things and looking at things.
And you used to take young people out with you to experience this?
Yes, so starts off mostly A-level students and then some younger GCSE and also just young children, just for more sort of bug hunting and crawling around in the bushes looking for creatures.
Have you seen any powerful transformations yourself? Have you got any stories to share?
I think one of my first years in the outdoors, I had a group, I was working on the Isle of Arran, and I had a group coming up from inner London who'd never really been in the countryside before, and suddenly here they were on an island, and they couldn't believe there were no slot machines or space invaders, just going back, obviously back a few years, and first really sort of worried about it or didn't like the open spaces, and always just making noise, but by the end of the week, I remember coming across a view, and one had been the most noisiest, just stopped and said, shh, shh, you know, everyone listen. And what was it about? And they're just saying, oh, it was just quiet, and they're just listening to the birds and the sound of the sea. And that was amazing, coming from one of the young people. So that was great.
In your experience, Cara, how do you, you know, see young people developing when they are in the outdoors?
I think they get a completely new idea on the world. I always remember a few years ago someone coming out and saying he never knew how much fun it could be outside, not on your games machine. You know, he just never experienced the outdoors before. It's just a completely new experience and loved it.
And these days, outdoor education, you know, there's becoming more of an awareness of the importance of young people spending time in nature. Why do you believe personally that it is important that they do spend time in nature?
I think if they just hear about it or see it on the telly, they're very detached. It doesn't mean it's, you know, they don't think it affects them. Whereas if they actually go out, then looking around, they realise it's their world, their environment, they are a part of it, and they can influence it or save it for the future.
I'm currently with Holly. How you doing, Holly?
I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, we just met this week, haven't we?
Yeah, just met on a student's sort of building in the outdoors week. It's been really good.
Yeah, it's been good to meet you. So do you want to just tell the listeners a bit about your background, please?
Cool, yeah. So when I was 16, my parents signed me up for 4 weeks in Central Asia, something that I was totally unprepared for and didn't really want to do. About 3 months before I travelled, I told my mum that I wasn't going to go because I was dreading it. And my mum made me go, and they were, I would say, the 4 weeks that that built me. And without those 4 weeks, I definitely wouldn't be where I am today.
So you're glad your mother pushed you into going abroad?
Yeah, actually, I always say to young people, parents don't know everything, but they do know some things. So I was definitely pleased that my mum pushed me into doing it. And for me, learning at school wasn't really for me, but learning in the outdoors is definitely what's built me as a person and built my knowledge and my character, and it's enabled me to have the career that I have now.
And what is the career that you have now? What do you do?
So I work for an expedition company. I work for a company called World Challenge. So we set up expeditions for school age students out to developing world countries, from anything from sort of 8 days up to 6 weeks, from destinations like Morocco to Thailand to Uganda to Costa Rica and Nicaragua, sort of all over the world, giving them all sorts of different experiences and really different challenging environments.
And in your personal perspective, how do you see young people developing when they do spend time on expeditions?
Well, on expeditions, it's a completely different environment for young people. It's something that they're totally unused to. But just to relate it to actually the week that we've done in the UK here, at the beginning of the week, I had a group who didn't really want to get involved in anything. Half of them were scared of getting involved in a lot of things. On day two, I had 4 girls cry at a climbing wall. And today, I had a team of 16 jump, do the leap of faith every single one of them attempted it, and I only had one that cried, and she actually cried because she was so proud of the fact that she'd made herself do it rather than the fact that I was making her do it. And that's just 1 week in the outdoors in the UK. So if that's sort of like 5 days in the UK, just imagine what it's like 5 weeks in sort of Central Asia, doing something completely out of their comfort zone. And I think for me, young people spend too much time in what we call their comfort zone. I like to push people into a bit of a challenge zone, and sometimes even step them a little bit into a panic zone. And for me, that is where young people learn. And I don't think in our education system now that there's such an opportunity to do that for young people, and taking them outdoors absolutely enables us to be able to do that with them. After the bushcraft session today, that they turned around to me and said this was what we most enjoyed. And for me, I think nature mesmerises young people because it's something that they're totally unused to in school life. And I definitely saw that. Two of the girls actually said, you know, it's amazing how we can sit and just look at a campfire. Yeah, and at home, I don't think anything can really keep their attention for more than 10 minutes unless it's like a TV or something. So to watch them do that in the outdoors was really cool. Just get outdoors and do as much as you can in the outside environment. Challenge yourself as much as you can. And definitely if you're not working with young people now, just take a minute to consider it. And if you can get involved with young people in any small way, I can't tell you how rewarding it is. It's the best job ever working with young people. And even though they tell you never work with children or animals, I think that's completely wrong. Because for me, working with young people is the best job that anybody can have.
They say a lot of things, but who are they?
Who are they really?
I'd like to say a massive thank you to everyone who was involved and participated in the making of this show. Let's keep spreading that outdoor education and wilderness knowledge to the younger generations. We need to make time for the natural world and include it in our lives. I hope you all stay happy, healthy, and stay blessed.